Let's begin. So today what we're going to do is Sif Beis, essentially. That's all we're doing today. It is very Nogei Lamaisa, and I'll try to mention to you as we go through the Halach Lamaisa cases that I've had that relate to Sif Beis. The plan is whatever we get through tomorrow is as far as we're going into the Kuf Pei Ches. Most of the rest of the Kuf Pei Ches is not so Nogei Lamaisa. I'll try to hit on a couple of important points tomorrow, and I'll try to let you know before I stay there what those points will be. I do not yet know what those points will be, so I will try to let you know tomorrow before I stay there through the WhatsApp chat. But today it's just going to be Sif Beis. Now the sugya of Sif Beis is Ne'amanus Ve'isha, is a woman's Ne'amanus about saying something about a Mara, or something about her experience with Maras. This, can we trust a woman to say, oh yeah, I've asked this shayla a few times, I know exactly what this is, and I can already tell you, like for example, and this very Nogea to Yoetze. Right, so this is Kimat, we got parallel that we talked about in Shulchan Aruch over here. One woman tells another woman, oh yeah, I've had that marriage 1,000 times and it's been fine. So can you trust the woman if she hasn't shown it to a chacham? Right, so is that a reliable form of Ezos? So let's start with the sugya. The Gemara needs a daf chafim beis. It's just like eight lines toward the bottom of daf chafim beis in the Seches Nida. And the Gemara tells us that a story. It starts with a story. That Rav Nachman's wife Yalta brought her dam to Rav Avrochana to Paschi. And when she brought to Rav Avrochana, she was mitame the dam. And then later she brought the same dam to Rav Yitzchak, brother of Yehuda, and he was mitaher the dam. Which is interesting, Tosfos points out that the Gemara never asks, what's she doing? How is she allowed to do that? She got a psak already, why is she bringing it to the next? The Gemara doesn't ask that. The Gemara asks on Rav Yisrael Rav Yehuda, which we'll get to in a second, how he could do it, how he could possibly do it, but it never asks on her. The Tosfos asks the more fundamental question, and this we'll get into also because it comes up in the notes of Kelim and Shulchan Aruch here, even though we've mentioned it already, which is, why didn't she just ask her husband? She's the wife of Rav Nachman. Oh, you're going to tell me Rav Nachman didn't really know much about Maris. You know, every rabbi has their expertise, and maybe he wasn't a big bucky in Maris. No, the very same sugya tells us that Rav Nachman was an expert in Maris, because the Gemara tells us, and he says some days, that he defined Edom in the Mishnah as the same color as Damakazim. That he was able, when they were working on shades of red, which shade of red is the shade that the Mishnah is referring to, he said, oh yeah, the same shade that Dam HaKazah, that bloodletting blood is. So he knew from shades of red, he knew what he was talking about, and she didn't ask her husband. And we're working with the assumption, Tosfos is working with the assumption that you're allowed to ask your husband, that a woman's allowed to ask her husband, because the Mishnah in the second paragraph of Negayim tells us that a person is not allowed to pass from his wife's Negayim, his own Negayim. He cannot be Matir his own Nidarim, and the assumption seems to be that you are allowed to look at your wife's Maros, that there's no issue in passing Maros that are Nogea to you. So why didn't she just go to her husband? So Tosfos gives three answers, and there's going to be enough Gemilah Halacha between them. Tosfos gives answer number one. He says that maybe he wasn't really an expert. Aye, but he said about the Dam HaKazah, doesn't that show expertise? No, it shows that he wants her to shear. And someone said, oh yeah, the red means Dam HaKazah. A lot of times you hear things that you overheard in the shear. Someone said something, and you say, oh, the translation of that word, So it's a dashim. What's that dashim? It's lentils. I don't know what a lentil even looks like. But I remember that the Rebbe said lentils. I don't know what a... so that's it. He's just repeating the words. But he doesn't. He could have been colorblind. He's just saying that he has a misnomer. That it's a Dam HaKazah. Second approach, Tosfos says, that Yalta was nervous that her husband wouldn't want to rely on his own expertise, and he would be unnecessarily machmir. But sometimes you have that they say when Reb Chaim had to ask a shayla, Reb Chaim never wanted the svara, right? He would always send it to the Brisker Dayan, and he would say, give me the tshuva, but don't, just give me an answer, yes, no, but don't give me any svara. Because he's always going to question the svara, he's always going to, but he knows that he could accept the psak. So she knew that if she was to ask her husband, he'd start husbanding, and he wouldn't want to take the risk, and he wouldn't want to be machmir al-atzmo. But it's on her cheshbon, and she wasn't interested in that. So she knew that her husband would accept the psak from other Gebelei Olam. But she could have, Eino Chinami, according to both of these answers, of course, she could have asked her husband, it would not have been a problem. Third possibility also says also she could have asked her husband, but Shemetz is Gana Olam. She was afraid that she would show these secretions that are coming out of her body, and the husband would be a little put off by it. And she didn't want, she didn't want him to think of her in that way. These bloody, the stains that came from her. I said the word stains. We'll see. Not so pashut that this applies to stains. We'll see when we get to the halacha. But these bloody maros that came from her. The Meiri just says no. Ein adam roes meishta. Person can't look at his wife's dam. And as we pointed out in the past, and we'll get back to it a little bit later in Shir, the Rash Mishan from that Mishnah, Maseches Nagayim, the Rash Mishan goes through, he argues it back and forth a little bit, and ultimately comes to the conclusion that it all depends on is Chazik Yisur or Lo is Chazik Yisur. That a husband can pass with his wife's Nagayim when she's not the Cheskas Tuma, which is the Cheska Tyra, but once she's the Cheska Tuma, then he cannot pass in the rest of the garden, which would mean he certainly cannot pass in the rest of the Tyra. First 3 days, debatable, but any bedikos during the Shivan Nikim after that, for sure he can, because she's already the Cheska's in a row, or she has a Ketan, while she's totally Tahora, and she just has a mid-cycle staining, and she's totally Tahora, that he's allowed to pass. And that's the compromise of the Rash Mishan. That's quoted by the, by the Chasam Sof and the Chacham Shalda. Okay, so back to the Gemara, right? So what happened? So Yalta went and got the Pesach from Rabbi Bar Chanan of Tameh, and then she went to Rav Yitzchak Ben Yehuda and got the Pesach Tohar. So two issues that the Gemara raises, or three issues. Issue number one, the Gemara says, how Rav Yitzchak could have been Metaher when the Shaila was already asked and answered the Chumrah. Chacham Shetimei, Ein Chaver Rashai Metaher. That if one Chacham passed in Tamei, someone else was not allowed to come along and be Metaher. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. Meikara Tzmuyavim Metanima. Rav Yitzchak's initial answer was Tamei. You already got your Psak? Psak is Tamei. Even the Amalei, to call Yoma, have a Matkin, Kiagavna. But since she said, look, the only reason I brought this to you is because I think he's not feeling well. Because I get this same Shiloh all the time. I have this kind of Mara all the time. And every time I have this kind of Mara, I bring it to Rav Arbachana, and he's always Mitaher. And he didn't look like he was feeling well today. His eyes were hurting him. And so I think he made a mistake. I think he wasn't seeing things clearly. And it's only when Rav Yitzchak heard that Rav Yitzchak was Mitaher. Originally, Rav Yitzchak was Mitameh. And Rashi says, why was he Mitameh originally? Not because he thought Tameh, out of kavod of Rav Barbachana, he was originally Mitameh. But once she said that Rav Barbachana is normally Mitaher, such blood, but had some sort of problem, so Rav Yitzchak felt comfortable being Mitaher, knowing that Rav Barbachana himself would have been Mitaher if he would have been able to see well, and his psak was simply an error. It was just a mistake. Now, the Ran and Rashi understand that the Isser for Rabbi Yitzchak to be Metaher was what someone else was Metameh, or Rabbi Yitzchak was Metameh, is based on the kavod of the Chacham Arishon. Right? That's what Rashi says. Mishum kavodo, he was originally Metameh. It's all of in kavod. The Ran in Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin, where that halacha comes up, that you're not allowed to be Metaher when someone else was Metameh, you're not allowed to be Matzer when someone else answered. So the Ran of Zara writes that if the first Chacham hears the Svara of the second Chacham and he agrees, or if the second Chacham is a greater Tam Chacham, very clearly higher up on the ladder, then the second Chacham is allowed to pass it, because he has no din of kavod. Meaning, I don't have to be mechabit him if he's moda, he changes his mind, and he's moda, and he says that I'm right. Nor do I have to be mechabit him if he's my talmud, right? And I'm greater posik than he is. So there's no din of kavod for a talmud from a rebbe to a talmud. So that's all the Ran and Rashi lishitasa. However, the Rashba and the Ritva hold that it's not based on. It's not based on kavod. It's based on shavya nafshchatiyat v'yizu. When you ask a shayla and you get a psak, your intention in asking the shayla is to accept whatever that pesach is. So if that pesach is the iser, shavir shchitit b'isur, it now becomes aser even if it's not. And according to that, even if the second chacham is greater, or even if the first chacham ultimately agrees, it can't change the original pesach because it's a shavir anasha. Whether you say it's mizin neder or wherever. The only exception, the Rashba points out, is if the Chacham was told b'dvar mishnah. If the Chacham was told b'dvar mishnah, he just made an obvious mistake, then the original psak is not binding, because it was shavya nafsha that if I get a real psak, then I'm accepting a real psak. But if I ask a shayla, and then, you just have no idea what you're talking about, and you're drunk or something, and you blurt something out, I'm not accepting that. So if it was a Tovid Var Mishnah, then you wouldn't accept it. Tosfos over here in Niza holds that a Shoel is allowed to ask as many people as they want, which is very interesting. Right? Tosfos discusses why she was allowed to keep on going and asking people. Tosfos because she wants the MS. And you're allowed to keep on asking as many people as you want until you get the MS. But you have to let them know that the Tosfos Arash adds, they have to let them know that the Shoel has been asked to someone else for it. So you do it. So these kinds of things happen all the time. Someone asks a shayla, and you should be cognizant of this, that you're not the only rabbi on earth, right? So someone asks a shayla, sometimes you can, a lot of times, especially now that I'm here, someone will ask me a shayla, and I know which way I'm interested in. I think it would be nota, but I'll always say, go ask Rabbi Sobolowski, ask Rabbi Shapiro, ask Rabbi Willig, ask we have Gedolei Olam over here, and they're all my rabbis. So I'll normally say that if I would be no telahachmir, and then it just happened the other day, a woman with a chatzitza issue with a rabbi called me about a woman that had a chatzitza issue with stitches after all surgery, and the stitches need to be removed. And it's a major machlokes aposim. We'll get to there when we get to chatzitza. It's a major machlokes aposim, and it was something that I was really never fully comfortable with. But I knew that Sobolowski quotes both sides in the sefer, but you could tell, he's going to be negative. So I said, go ask Sobolowski, someone else, and they were able to, and that's fine. But that's even though the Rosh Hashanah letting the second rabbi know that Shiloh was there, you know, you got a psak. But as a rabbi, you don't necessarily always have to give the psak if there's some other way to get the psak. I mean, you can let them go to someone else to get the psak. Okay, so now, so that's stage one of the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know how this could have been retired. Shiloh was already asked and answered. L'chumra. So the Gemara's answer is he understood, based on her testimony, based on what she said, that the original psak was not a real psak. That the original psak was basically a Tovid Var Mishnah. That it was an error. He wasn't feeling well because he would never have been mitami, something like that. And Rav Yitzchak saw the merit, and he saw that it's a merit tar. So he was willing to be makel. Another Gemara says, can you really trust a woman to say that Rabbi Rabbechan is normally matir such blood? Maybe she's mistaken. What kind of training does she have in Maros of Dabim? So you can trust her. So the Maros says, we believe her because the Brisa says, Ne'amenes Yishalomar Kezer Yisiv Yavatitis. That the woman is Ne'amenes, because after all, we have a Brisa that tells us that if a woman comes and says, I saw Maradam, what color, I lost my, this happens a lot also, you'll get the Shaila, a woman will call up and say, I did a bedika, it was a questionable bedika, and I put it aside, and the housekeeper came today and threw it in the garbage, right? Because the housekeeper sees what looks like a dirty tissue, what's she going to do? She's going to throw it in the garbage. I left it by the sink in the bathroom or whatever, so the housekeeper's going to throw it in the garbage. But it was, it was the color of, and she'll find something, right? It was the color of this, it was the color of this wall. Well, that looks welcome to me, right? So that's gonna be taught, right? So a woman is nemenis to say, because they're easy for vaditiv. A woman loses the marriage, she's believed to take something else of a similar color and say that she saw similar colored blood and it was taught. So the Gemara's kasha was, how can we trust her? The Gemara says, of course we can trust her, because the Bible tells us you're allowed to trust her. You're allowed to trust her, because everything about that, and that's the same thing at this point in the Gemara. That's the same thing. Saying that I lost the Mara, and I can now describe the color to you by being medame, to something else. Oh, it was the color of the lettering over here, right? I could be medamet to something else. So she's believed to do that. She's also believed to say that the mara that I showed, Rabbi Bar Chana, is the same mara that I always show him, and he's always mitar, but this time he was medamet. So I know clearly that he wasn't feeling well. Just a moment. So Ramban asks, well, she's believed to recognize the color. Why did she bother asking the shayla? Meaning, if every time she brought her Rabbi Chana and she saw that it was tar every time, so what's she asking the shayla for? So the Ramban gives three answers, and this is going to be nogea lahalacha as well. First, we're just going through the sugya. Ramban gives three answers. One answer, Ramban says, she didn't know that she's nemet. Meaning, we now have to deal with whether she's just giving the fact as she knows them, but she didn't know that she was going to be nemet. Second answer, Ramban says, she was machmir alatma. She didn't have to ask the shayla. Not every time a woman does a bedikah, she can have to ask the shayla. Because she knows, she's had enough experience, she's married for 15 years, every time a mara comes out with a little bit of mucus on it, every time it's nothing. So she was just machmir alatma. Or third, she thought it was disrespectful to the chachmei amakam, the parakim. And even though she really wouldn't have to ask shayla, midine hilchus nida, Midine kabul chachamim, she won't be allowed to pass me. This is a fascinating idea. Right? That because there's a chacham in that location, so you shouldn't pass him when there's a chacham in that location. Like, it makes, like, I don't know, anybody in the whole 5,000 Rockaway area, are any of us allowed to pass him as long as Rabbi Forrest is there? You know, like, he's the world expert. And, you know, but we generally assume, you know, he can't handle everybody's silence, so it has to go through, you know, the lower level rabbanim first. If there's a very, very challenging shaila, eventually we'll get to Rabbi Forrest's door. I remember before Hurricane Sandy, I don't know if it was Sandy, I think it was Irene or whatever, they were requiring an evacuation of the Far Rockaway area. I don't remember the exact details, but I seem to remember of a Shai Shechter told me he was talking to his father, because there's a whole tumult that's right before Shabbos, you know, the order came down like a half hour before Shabbos, evacuate. So I evacuate when we were driving at Shabbos. Rabbi Shai Shechter told me that he told his father, you know, Rabbi Forrest was telling people to stay there, it's not really dangerous, it'll be okay. So Shechter said, it's not dangerous when you're in Rabbi Forrest's kehila, because there's a chus of a tzaddik like that, it will protect you. Like, who thinks like that? but for other people, it's probably dangerous. I don't know, so I guess he feels like if you hang out around Rabbi Forrest enough, you know, he'll be protected from... I'm not saying that like halakha l'maaseh. Normally, if officials tell you that it's dangerous and you need to, like, get on out of there, you know, okay. Yeah.
The first answer in Ramban.
Yeah.
The question. The question says that she knew that this color always was the fire. How's the answer that she didn't know?
No, she did know. She didn't know that she's not managed about it.
Oh, she didn't know.
I mean, she didn't know that she could just pass in it, but she knew the color.
So you said the Gemara says she can be trusted that it was the same color. But we're also saying that she can be trusted to say that the Chacham's eyes were like going blurry.
Because she knew that it was the same color. And he didn't, apparently.
But then we're ascribed. I'm saying we're the Gemara is also saying she can be trusted with the Metzias of his ability, you know. It's not just about the color, it's also about his condition.
Meaning, because it's about the color, it must be that he had a condition that was caused, meaning they're connected.
She's not necessarily, her nemanis is not letting him help us neither to say that his eyesight is bad. Her nemanis is only to say you don't have to be choshesh for his kavod because his eyesight wasn't there. She's just allowing him to get something on what.
Oh, good. So we'll get there, right? Meaning, is it really her nemanis? Or is it Rav Yitzchak saw that this is a maritahar? So he passed in the hulu, it's a maritahar. Elamai, there was something getting in his way from Baskin Hilakula, and that is the kavod of Rabbi Ruchana. So that's getting in his way. So she removes that from his path. Don't worry about the barrier of Rabbi Ruchana. He wasn't feeling well, and he made a mistake. He was a Tobit Bar Mishnah. Now I feel comfortable passing the Shailah, right? That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. That's what we saw in Allah. Then, yep.
Is it really Tobit Bar Mishnah? He doesn't have a problem with that. It's not the Lee with the problem. It's the problem.
I would think that that's the same.
Yeah.
It's a good point, but I don't think that that's the same. It's a greater Talmud Varnishin, maybe. You know, that you're just missing the basics. Right? You're passing this piece of meat is absolutely treif, because you think it's from a pig, but it's really from a cow. You know, like, so he knows all the halachos, but like, I think that's like not, you know, an even clearer Talmud Varnishin. The Gemara then asks, if one woman can paskin for another woman, right, based on experiences she's had, right, a woman, this happens all the time, a young kala, that's the first bidika, and there's something on it, so who is the first person a young kala goes to? The kala teacher. So the kala teacher says, oh yeah, I've had this shiloh all the time, and it's fine. So the Gemara says, are you allowed to do that? Can the kala teacher just say that I've had this same shiloh all the time? So the Gemara tries two riots. Riot number one, the Gemara says, is a brisa. Now, Menasi Shalom Tzaris Vivatis, the same brisa we just quoted. That a woman is believed to say, if she loses the merit, to compare the colors and identify something else as the color that she lost. Oh, it was the color of the lettering. It's good thing I brought this door. Of the lettering on this door. Right? That's Tzaris Vivatis. It says, well, that's not a good riot, because when she lost the merit, you have no other option. The only way we can get a sense of the color is by her being Madonna. But when you have a mirror in front of you, ask a Shiloh. Why would you trust the other woman? Go ask a Shiloh. So that's not a good riot. Second riot of the Gemara says the story with Yalta. She was believed to say that when he was feeling well, Rabbi Baruch Hanu would be Matayer this. And she's nemenes to say that Rabbi Baruch Hanu was Matayer. No, she's not. Rav Yitzchak was paskening the Shiloh. Rav Yitzchak saw it. Rav Yitzchak was paskening based on what he saw. Not based on, because she said that he's Neman. It's just like we just pointed out a second ago. You know, Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda agamrei samach. He was relying on his own knowledge, his own mesorah to be metar. The only reason he was initially metame was respect for Rabbi Bechana. So she was able to move that respect out of the way. To move that issue of respect out of the way. And then he was able to pasken straight. So if I were to ask you, so the college teacher, can the college teacher say? Unclear. The Gemara tries to rise and never comes to a conclusion. So what do you do in such a case? Tries to rise and never comes to a conclusion. So is it, can you or can't you? Let's get into the halacha. Let's shlav achar shlav over here, step by step. First of all, the Torah writes in Sponim Shulchan Aruch, Ne'amenes yishalomah kezav yisiv. Right, the price that we quoted twice, that the Gemara never questions. That's true. A woman can say Kazer Yisiv Avadatid. It's explicit in the Brisa. Beit Yosef explains, we don't assume she's lying. Why don't we assume she's lying? It's not for Allah. Right? You believe a woman, about Al Kufnida. So we explicitly trust her. And we don't assume she's mistaken. That's the greatest thing. We don't assume she's mistaken, because you don't assume Minastam, says Beit Yosef, that she's Toa B'Dimyonis, that she's not able to compare and assess things properly. So Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, meaning if she says and then she points to the color of this wall, that's good. She's amen. What are we adding exactly? The Bryce didn't say that. The Bryce didn't say the imhu yarok olavan. Sorry. The Bryce said, Nemanis, because they're easy to avoid. And then you'll make a psak. What's Shulchan Aruch adding, and the Torah adding, when it says, oh, and if it's love or yarog, then it's star. What do you think? The simple psak is, those are the Torah colors. Are those the only Torah colors? You know, think back a little to follow. It depends who you ask, right? Depends for what. Is it gold? Tahar is brown. Tahar. So Rav Vazna writes to Shem Velezi that even if you hold brown as tahar, which again the Masorah of most of the Rabbanim in our yeshiva is, even if you hold brown as tahar, she wouldn't be nemenis about that because that is the Velezi. If you hold orange as tahar, she wouldn't be nemenis about that. She's nemenis when it's something that's so far from atomic color. It's mamish, loving or yarmulke. But when a slight nuance can make such a difference, then she wouldn't be nemenis. And then you have to say that the brice is very, very limited. Right? It's got to be something that's really a nothing. That's where we say the Zarisa is a husband.
Is Rosner explaining the Shulchan Aruch's
position? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He thinks that's why the Shulchan Aruch's doctor says that. The
Shulchan Aruch also only mentions those two colors in Sif'alos. So why
right.
Do you think that's
why it's not the Pashtos. And he says, at the end of the Torahim. But that's the deal. That's the deal. If your whole home is Tar, then you can't. It's very mistaken what he said. Meaning, sometimes you'll see a Mara, and the two Maras might look very, very similar. One of them has like one streak. I'm like, if you're not trained, you don't even know that that streak is there. You don't even know to look for it. You know, there's kids' folks that are a little bit sharper, but it looks very similar. But most of the shilas that you'll get, you'll see when you're up on it, most of the shilas that you get are really shiny. But Yaruk, I love them. They're not really shilas. Depends, you know, certainly when you're dealing with very young people. When you're dealing with people who have been married for 10 years, so they already know not to ask for things that aren't shilas. Which we'll see in a second, is that really so partial? They're not supposed to ask things that aren't shilas. But when you're dealing with things that are real shilas, someone who just hasn't seen that much is very likely to miss. So whether that's what the Shulchan Aruch means, it's very mistaken. Very mistaken. Then the Torah goes on to say, אבל מביאו לפני נדן והחזקנו הוא כתמי או אפילו אם הסתפקנו בו בתמי או בתוהר. A woman brings down. And we're looking at this and we say, this is bad, this is tamei. Or, this is a shayla and I'm not sure what this is. והיא אומרת חכם פלוני תהיה לי כיוצא בזה. אין סלחן עליה. And she says, oh, don't worry about it. I already got another rabbi told me about similar shaylas, things that were very similar to this, then we would not rely on her. Well, this sounds a lot like what Rav Azar said, right? Rav Azar's deity. Except it's not a Kazarisi Vavazative situation, right? It's, she's actually bringing a Mara, and she's saying, but it's the same idea of a Dimyon that she's making. And she says, oh, this Mara is similar to other Maras that I've had in the past, and the rabbi that I always asked was always Matar. So then we wouldn't be so on her. They still point out that this is really the Gemara Shaila. I mean, the Gemara Shaila, the way Rashi understood it, was one woman asked another woman. So the woman B says, oh, I get that Shaila all the time. It's exactly the same. And then Matar. But it doesn't have to be another woman. It could be the same woman. Right? It could be, I've had the Shaila 5 times in the past, and I've asked her, and it was always for her. But if she's showing it to us right now, and it doesn't look so obviously to her, ain't an amen. So essentially, in the unanswered question that the Gemara has, the Shulchan Aruch paskins l'chumra, right? In the unanswered question of the Gemara. So, and Beit Yosef points it out. Since it's an ibayil of shita, we answer, we go l'chumra, machmir. Normally, we don't assume a woman is mistaken, but in this case, we see that there's a problem here. The blood either looks tummy or it looks questionable. And the chances are therefore much greater that she also doesn't really know for sure. Again, similar to Rav Azar's deer to the Shulchan Aruch, is what it says explicitly in the next line of Shulchan Aruch. Right? That when it's a questionable merit, she's probably not really seeing it exactly for what it was. So Rav Adya writes in Taras Abai, it's very interesting. Shulchan Aruch is straight machmir, right? Rav Adya says, I'm not so convinced. It was an Ibrahim of a sheep in the Gemara. So he says, what's the normal halakha when you have a safek? The rice will come to Rabbanu Kula. So what kind of marriage is this? Is this a kasem or is this a marriage? Meaning, are we dealing with needs of the rice or are we dealing with needs of Rabbanu? That's going to make all the difference. Says Rav Adya, even Nir says, oh, that could be re'iyah al yidei hargosha. That we speak of the rice of the chumrah. About the kesem yeshlat al davi speaks rabbanu lukula. If it's kesem, we can be making. It's not at all the impression you get from the mechaber. That's what Rav Adya says. And then he suggests, well, maybe there's a difference between something that's a suffix because it's a tekun versus something that's a suffix because it was just a nivaydol shita, that was just a shayla that was never resolved. Why? Because nivaydol shita, the part, what does tekun mean? So take what you learned in fifth grade, whenever you learn take for the first time. Take and learn means Tishbi is ours, Tishbi is ours. Okay, whether that's what it actually stands for or not, but that's certainly what already the Rishonim assume it means. We're not going to know the answer. until something happens. Whether Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells us, or the other then comes and we're not going to know the answer. That's taken. So essentially, we've closed the book on it. And there's no chance that someone's going to come and be Mevarish. And in Bible of Shita, the Gemara didn't come to a resolution, but maybe we still can. Maybe we'll find another Tosefta, another Bryce, and we'll come up with something. It leaves open the possibility that somebody might have an answer, and therefore, says Rav Avadia, it might be treated like a Suffolk Machmas Chesser Nidia.
Whoa.
And a Suffolk Machmas Chesser Nidia is not a real Suffolk. A real Suffolk is a Suffolk that's staying a Suffolk. But something that's just, because I don't know something, you know, I'm not sure whether this product is, you know, is dairy or just dairy equipment. But if I just pick up the phone and call the company, you know, like, you can't call that a Suffolk. You just don't know something, you can find out. So Rav Avadia says, maybe, that's why the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. But then Rav Avadia says, no, because if you look through Shas and you look through the way that Rishonim deal with the Bible of Shitas, it is somewhat of a debate, but the Rif, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rif, the Meiri, the Ran, the Rivash, the Shulchan Aruch consistently baskin Lukula on the Bible of Shita Bisum Rabban. You got to take his word for it. He says they always do, and he says I'm assuming you have das. I explain it. That is always the approach, and therefore Avadi says pasul kula fits kesef. Then he goes a step further. And he says and also if it's a bedika. Well, right, remember we discussed this a bedika we treat like nidah daraisa. Why do we treat a bedika like nidah daraisa? Chashagasha. There was something going on inside that masked the Hargasha. Rav Avadia says, yeah, but maybe there was an Hargasha also. So the Choshe says, there was Dr. Hargasha then, and it's called Nidah Daraisa. A real V'iyah of Hargasha, that's Nidah Daraisa. Bedika, for these purposes, is not Nidah Daraisa. That's why. Like I hear what the whole thing is wild. The Shulchan Aruch never gave us a remez that you could be making. Right? Shulchan Aruch just said the Chumrah. And if a woman comes and says that, I've had this shaila in the past, similar to this, and there's always been tzaras, ain't an emenis. So comes along Rav Avadia, chiddush number one, and he says, but if it's drabanan, emenis. And then chiddush number two, and I'm going to expand the definition of drabanan to include bedikos. I didn't see that in any other post, and I just thought it was fascinating. That's point number one about the halacha. We have 5 points about the halacha. Point number two about this halacha, the Torah of Shlomim, the Sifkat and Hay, points out that this would imply that if she still has the first dam to bring, and she says, Zeh shehu kazeh tiyah liploni chacham, meaning she kept her old bediga, that the chacham was with her, and then her friend or her student, right, comes and says, I have the shayla, she looks at them, they look exactly the same, that she is an emen, because we can see that she's not called a bidinyan. Meaning, says the son, the concern is not, it would seem, this is the mashmos of the Shulchan Aruch. Mashmos of the Shulchan Aruch is that the concern is not that she's untrustworthy, that she's a liar, that she's, right, misafra lo, she's an emen. Concern is she's making a mistake. But if she's able to have both of them right in front, she's able to do mizama one to the other, and she sees that they're exactly the same, and she knows that the chacham was matar hers, she could be makel on the young kala's bedikah club. However, says the Torah Shlomim, that can't be true, because if that were true, the Gemara should have answered the story of Yalta that way, that she was able to show us both maros, and that's why we believe her. So it can't be true that we're going to believe her if she shows us both maros. And furthermore, Rashi implies that whenever the blood that she's asking about is still here, we don't rely on anything she says. Meaning the only time we're going to listen to what she has to say is if I don't have a shayla to paskin other than what she's telling me to paskin. But if I have a shayla right in front of me to paskin, I got to paskin that shayla. I can't be listening to what she's telling me. I can't get into my head about what she claims other rabbis tell. And this is also something that happens when you're a rabbi a lot. Before you answer, I just want you to know that I spoke to Rabbi so-and-so, and I spoke to this one, and I spoke to that one, and my sister's rabbi in Phoenix said, and my brother's rabbi, you know, said this. So, you know, I just sat on Rosh Hashanah, a 4-year-old kid. They were really in a stroller by Tashlich. and they said that he hasn't been feeling well, we want to take him for throat culture. So can one of the Jewish doctors here do a throat culture? So what's wrong with doing throat culture on Shabbos? It's a problem of surveyor to do the test. So if you get a guy, do the test. You know? Otherwise, wait till after Yantif, or if you think you can't wait till after Yantif, there's an emergency medicine place about a mile away, so walk a mile. It's a 15-minute walk. It wasn't raining. So the person said, but in Camp Morashai, they lost like Spassin. That if you can, if it's the beginning of Shabbos and you can do it now, and if it's the end of Shabbos, and it's great. But this is Camp Morashai. You know, you don't have to be walking on the side of some dirt road for 8 miles in order to find some doctor that you don't trust. there's other options over here. So a lot of times they like try to get into your head. Don't let it. You have to shy in front of you. Deal with the shy in front of you. Don't let people get into your head. Because what other people may have said, did say, you have a shy, you deal with the shy. Okay. Point number 3. Shach and Sukkot Zayin says as follows. Shach writes that a woman cannot trust her friend to say that I asked a shayla on similar dam and the chacham was making. Because whenever there's a safek lefaneinu, whether the chacham is mesupuk, whether they never showed the chacham and the woman herself is mesupuk, you can't trust another woman to resolve the safek. Whenever you have safek lefaneinu, you can't trust the woman to resolve the safek. So Pesach Tshuva takes it one step further and says, she isn't even believed about her own blood to say that a chacham is usually matir. Meaning it's not only about someone else's blood, even her own blood, to say that a chacham is usually matir. However, the Rashba and the Ran sound like a woman is believed about her own dam, and Rav Elzer quotes this. The Rashba and the Ran sound like she is believed about her own dam, because they said that the only reason Yalta bothered asking the Shaila, remember the Ramban we said, right? Why did Yalta bother asking the Shaila? She's had this so many times before, and she knows her Rabbi Abachad is always making, so why did she ask the Shaila? So what was the first answer of the Ramban? She didn't know that she's going to be an Amenah. She didn't know, she thought she wouldn't be believed. Or she was being extra Machmir al-Atzma, or something like that. It sounds like the MS is that she is an MS. Right? That she really would be an MS. Unlike what the Pesach Tshuva says, that she's not believed about her own blood to say that a chacham is usually matir. So it's very nogei l'maisa. Women all the time will do b'dika. Something will come out in the b'dika club. And she's been married for 15 years. She knows that this is not a problem. Or she brings it to her kala teacher. Or yoetza. Right. Someone who's seen a lot of them. And they know right away, this isn't anything. So the kala teacher is told, and every yoetzer is told, Rabbi Amon told me, that you're not supposed to pass the shayla. If something's not a shayla, you can say it's not a shayla, but you're not allowed to pass the shayla. Right? That's like, those are the marching ones. So a woman knows, does it have to go beyond that? So it's ma'isim b'chol yom, obviously. So it sounds like the Pesach Tshuva would say, I'm sorry. You gotta ask. You can't be Madonna. As long as there's anything on it, you can't be Madonna. Whereas the Rashba and the Ran sound like, no, if you know it's nothing, it's nothing. So Vazan explains that if there's a Reyesa based on the Chacham Safek on the matter, then you can't trust the woman. Meaning if the Chacham already saw it, then there's some sort of Reyesa, because the Chacham's like, I don't know about this. That's where she doesn't have Ne'emah. But if there's no Reyesa, then the woman can decide that it doesn't need to be shown. Because there's no one indicating that there's any problem to begin with. And if the woman knows that there's not going to be a problem, so it doesn't even come to Ne'emah. Rav Elzer also points out that the Chachmas Adam in Klal Kuf Yud Aleph, Sif Gimel, in the Binas Adam, writes that the entire Chumrah not to believe her, to say Ploni Tiherli, not to believe her, which says, you know, Ploni Chacham Tiherli is only Bizman HaGemar. Why is Bizman HaGemar different? they're being mafkin between different shades of red. Okay, that we don't have to trust around. There are going to be matzah, some shades of red. But if you have a perfectly clean marah, then of course she's believed. If you have a marah lavan, of course she's believed. Rav Elazar just points out the absurdity that it would lead to if she had to bring everything. He said it would just be crazy. It's totally illogical to make her bring every single marah, even when there's no suffix whatsoever about it. And she's asked about the same type of color 1,000 times before. Again, when a kala gets married to the kala, he says, ask everything. Until she gets a feel for what you do ask and what you don't ask. But eventually, it's okay. For some to say, yeah, it's a matter of love and it's not even a shayla. Look, nowadays, thank God, you know, we have a lot of rabbis that are available in most major Jewish communities and a lot of very patient rabbis, and, you know, no one minds if you err on the side of caution and you ask too much. But sometimes it's not always convenient. Sometimes it's not always the rabbi's not always available. You live in a place where there is only one rabbi, and he's in Israel for his grandson's bar mitzvah. You know, like, what do you do now? So if it's a real shayla, you're stuck. You got to ask the shayla. If it's not a shayla, you don't really have to ask something that's not a shayla. Question?
Is there something fundamental about the fact that she's a woman, or that she hasn't learned the halachos?
That's a good question, right? That's a good question. Why can't the yotze get shimush? Why is she told that she's not allowed to paskin? Is there something about a woman not paskinning? So there's something about a woman having a position of sarara, but there's no halacha that a woman is not allowed to paskin when she knows the halacha. That's a good question. Rav Shachter has told me that he thinks that if a woman knows halachas really well, so then why can't she paskin? You know, there'll be no problem. Obviously, the social ramifications are very significant and have to be thought of very carefully. But the other thing just to be aware of is even, you know, when a woman has learned through her nida very well, I have a very close friend, he's a rav of a shul in Montreal, and he's a Neri Yisrael guy. You're not going to Neri Yisrael, he lives in Neri Yisrael. And his wife just became a Yoreset, which was like shocking to me, because he was always like my yeshivish friend, you know? Like, so his wife just became a Yoreset. And he was telling me that, and they're really wonderful people, because he was in Montreal for 2 years, and he didn't get a single need to shed. I probably shouldn't have said where he was, but he was in a shul somewhere out of town, and he didn't get a single need to shed. And as soon as his wife became a Yoreset, they started getting shed. So he said, like, he spoke to Tzvi Berkowitz, he spoke to, like, you know, whoever he could, and some people told him, you should tell your wife not to do this, it's a bad idea, and other people said, it's a great idea, and other, you know, like the usual array of opinions that you'll get in a healthy Jewish environment. And he said, now they get friends of the Yiddishkeit. But one of the things she told me was that when she started learning, like, she didn't know where the shach was, or who the shach was. Like, her husband had to, like, sit her, you know, and just, like, go through, like, some of the basics. So when it comes to passing a shayla, not that mara, but any shayla, you don't want to, and this male or female, you don't want to ask a shayla to someone who just a couple of months ago discovered who the shach is. You know what I'm saying? Like, who doesn't have, like, some background in learning. And it's not all the wrong. She went to all the right seminaries and all the right, you know, but doesn't have like a very strong background in learning. A great background in your Shemayim and Tanakh maybe or whatever, but not a great background in learning. So that was Rabbi, Ada Yom, I think. I don't know if it's still recording. Ada Yom, it's Rabbi Willis' major taina on the Yotzet, not the Yotzet program, but just practically the way it plays out. Rabbi Willis' lashon to me was, if someone doesn't know what a spek is, they can't pass the Mishayim. I mean, what he means by that is if you don't have like a broad understanding of just how learning works and how halacha works, then you can't pass the shayla. But is there anything inherent about being a woman? I don't think so. The assumption always was that the woman didn't have any real knowledge. It was only just dimyonos of, you know, comparing to what shayla she had, because women didn't know how to read Hebrew. I mean, they didn't, right? But nowadays, education has improved drastically.
What would decide if something is shiloh or not? Is it, if it's subject to machloket, then it's shiloh?
So I think Rav Wagner's getter is a good getter, right? And she says, it's this color, so that's not a color, that's white, right? But if she says, right, that it's anything in the brown family, the orange family, the pink family, you know, something that has some natil ad mumis, that's a shayla. I think that's generally.
What if a woman's going to ask you a shayla, and based off the way that she's asking you, she's certain that what she saw was tamer, and you're going to say that it's the tamer? Can you not answer that shayla if you know that she's just so convinced that it's really tamer?
No, I don't know. You have to tell her, but that rarely happens. It almost always happens the other way. That she's convinced that it's a problem, and you say, no, that's cool. You know, and that's, you don't have to say what it is. You can just say, you're better off not saying what it is. Particularly, by the way, and this is totally unrelated, it's just the people that, the greatest volume of shadows come from people with OCD, as you can imagine. Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Schwartz, has advised me, and especially writes this way in his letters, when dealing with people that are OCD, never ever give a hesber. It's tough. Why? Because I'm the rabbi and I said so. Like, even if you're not like that kind of person to talk like that, you know? But like with people who are going to be Reb Chaim, right? and they're gonna question everything, so then you say, because I said so. On my shoulders. It is. So, okay. Point number four. Related to this halacha. The Shach writes that a woman is na'amanet to say, Dam o kesem ze tiyer licha. This is the favorite that we already saw in the Ramah, in Kuf Pehei, Sif Gimel, where the Ramah says, Amrlo kol nichachem hitu li kesem ze, v'achachem omer shihim shakeres. Right, we said back in Kuf Pehei. The woman says, this rabbi passed it, it's okay. And the rabbi's like, no, I didn't. She's a liar. So then, ha-chacham ne'eman, it's me. Ha-chacham is me. But the mashmos, the powers over there, Sivkot and Gimel points out, the mashmos is that the chacham, if the chacham doesn't deny the psak, or isn't here to deny the psak, and the woman just says, toni chacham easily, then of course we trust her. Even if somebody else tells us that the chacham wasn't matched, it's passed it out. Meaning a woman comes and says, I asked the Shaila before in the Chacham, I asked the Shaila already in the Chacham was Matir. And someone else says, no, he wasn't. He wasn't Matir. We believe the woman, because Kivin Shemina Tarei Rechad, Arei Kan Shnayim, so she's Shnei Edim, and no one is believed against her. Except for the Chacham himself. Right? Point number five. And this is the point we mentioned before. We'll just come back. This is the final point for today. We'll finish a little bit. The Shach brings postos that a chacham can paskin his own wife's marriage, right? Our Tosfos, so we saw a chacham days in the bottom over there, the Shach quotes that from Tosfos, that he can paskin his own wife's marriage, and he doesn't quote anybody who argues. So on the immediate page of Shulchan Aruch, because Shulchan Aruch, Shach says, right, you don't have anyone that argues on that idea that a chacham is allowed to paskin his own wife's marriage. First, Hashlomim quotes that the Rash Mishan says the same thing, which is true at a certain point in the Rash Mishan. But if you read it all the way to the end, he doesn't say the same thing. Right? If you read it all the way to the end, what the Rosh Mishnah actually says is that it depends whether it's Chazik Yisurah or not it's Chazik Yisurah. In the Taz in Hilchos Shechita, in Simen Yudches, Simchat Tesvav, the Taz quotes the distinction of the Rosh Mishnah. So over here, where you'd expect it, the Taz doesn't say a word, And the Shach gets away with only quoting Lechula, but the Rashi Mishnah makes it into Achronim and major Achronim in different places. If I'm not mistaken, I mentioned before, the Chacham Asadam quotes this Rashi Mishnah as well. So Rav Vazner just points out that we definitely don't pass like this Rashi Mishnah. Rav Vazner says, it's not in the Shach, not in the Shulchan Aruch over here, and therefore we allow the husband to paskin. It says particularly, because what's the whole concern? That he's going to be nogea b'davar? Whenever you find nogea b'davar in halacha, right, so far, what was the Alpha's concern? She didn't want to ask Rajan. Why didn't she want to ask Rajan? So he told her about he might be nogea b'davar, and be a shemachmir. So if there's any nogea, it's in the other direction usually. Meaning that the husband's a chacham. He's yirei shemayim. He's yirei chait. So he's going to be terrified to rely on his own bekiyus, you know, on his own expertise. Because if anything, he'd be more machmir. Furthermore, Rav Nosson quotes a Marach or a Zeruah that the Safra love applies to him also. The Safra love that gives her nemanus, even though it's okay to her, right? It's clearly no gain to her. That should Marach or a Zeruah should apply to him also. That we're not concerned about the gears in the realm of passing nida. Now you could have argued, well, although that was a very different thing. When it's nogea, it hurts because we have no choice. You know, you're not going to have someone else do her bedikah, right? So obviously, inherent in the system is that she's the one that's on top of things, that she's the one that's seeing things. By him, you know, we have no requirement to believe him. But I think that that the practice is that Rabbanim do pass in their wife's marriage. But at the same time, when it's a challenging shayla, I think the practice is, as far as I know, the practice is when it's a challenging shayla to show something else. Also. Even though you think to be make, you'll never trust yourself 100%. You know, to be make on your own wife's mind. It's always better to show something else.
So brown and orange and pink.
I wouldn't make a blanket statement like that. Meaning, when it's talking about a woman who has no training, right, in looking at maros, I would say brown, orange, and pink, you always have to add, right? But when it comes to a rabbi who does have training, and he knows that this pink is a beige, and it's not even a shy, it's not like, he's not even torn about it, you know, so he could pass it out on his own. But if it's the kind of thing he would schwitz over for a little bit, right? Someone just told me, there was someone here that told me the maestro that they asked a difficult shayla to Rabbi Neuberger, and the next day or a week later, someone said to Rebbetzin Neuberger, I just want to let you know your husband helped with a really challenging shayla. Yeah, I don't even know if it was enough for me, it was something. And she said, he didn't sleep that night. He went into his study for like 3 hours and came out schwitzing. And davened the rest of the night. Like when you have that kind of pachad, you know, that kind of shayla. When it's your own wife, you know, don't be like. Meaning, not there are a lot of times that you'll see a brown that's obviously brown, and because you're trained, you know better. You know that you'll see a pink that's obviously beige. You'll see, but sometimes it's shayla where it's like, oh man, if I look at it in this light, I look at it in that light, and you know, every time I look at it, I see something different. I'd be making it with someone else, you know? I think that the practice is to show it to someone else. Generally, I mean, if you can't show it to someone else, even if it's, if you have to schwitz too much, it's always better to show it to someone else anyway. But particularly when it's your own wife, I think the practice is to show it to someone else. Good. Okay. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to finish up some conversation. But we will, Be'ez Hashem, have a Bechina when we come back. Details will be forthcoming. I do like the idea of having a section on the Bechina of actual Shaila. Like, you get the following Shaila. Right? Tzak, and then Nimukim. Right? Give your explanation, your logic.